In 2002, Charles Colson was interviewed. I don't know how many of you know who he is. Charles Colson was one of the Watergate criminals who later founded Prison Fellowship. And when he was interviewed, he was talking about John Dean, the one in the Nixon conspiracy who turned everybody in so that he could be state's evidence and be free of his own guilt. Well, Charles was talking about the fact that in our humanness, that's kind of the thing we do. When we are there in the midst of a conspiracy, when we are there part of something, and we find out we're going to get in trouble for it, we as human beings no longer stand in the fray and fight. We look for a way that we might not have to bear the consequences of our actions. But if we think about Jesus Christ, not just his birth, but his death and his resurrection, his disciples who had been in the midst of everything, had been part of that conspiracy, we could say, for the kingdom of God to come into place here on earth, what did they do? Did they turn state evidence? Did they pick the one and say, go find him? No. Those who had seen the resurrected Jesus went and proclaimed, knowing that that could be their death. It was their death sentence. Saul was working really hard to bring all those Christians into line and have them put to death. The difference between being a Christian and having faith is not turning state's evidence. But in this morning's reading, we have a different witness to the coming of Jesus. We have John the Baptist. He's in a different situation. He has not seen Christ raised from the dead. But he has been proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. He has been calling for repentance. He has been baptizing in the river. And people have been coming to him. And our Gospels tell us that even Jesus came into those waters and was baptized by John. But what our Gospels also tell us is we don't really know if John was truly aware of who he baptized. If when the heavens opened up and God said, "This is my Son who is well pleased," if only Jesus heard, or if everyone heard. We do not know, except in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, what we find there is John testifying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with the water said to me, 'On him whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." And then as Jesus walks by John, he says at one point, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." So now John's in prison. John's in prison and not really certain whether he needs to turn state's evidence or if he needs to stand firm because the Messiah has come. So he asks that kind of doubting question. And he sends his followers out to find out the answer. Are you really the one? So what does Jesus do with that question? What does Jesus do with that question? This is what he does. He offers a response that they are to bring to John. Did you listen to that response? He says, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them." Did you listen very carefully when Jeanette spoke this morning and read our Old Testament scripture? What was Isaiah prophesying? "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. When his followers bring these words that Jesus gave them back to him, John the Baptist will remember that Isaiah passage. John the Baptist will remember that those were the words of the promise of the Messiah to come. And Jesus gives him the answer while he is there in prison. Yes, I am the Messiah. And we all need to kind of hear that reassurance, don't we? Because all of us are at some point like John the Baptist. We're in that Monday of doubt. That here we are in the midst of our lives, in the midst of the things that are happening in our lives. And we are wondering, did the Messiah really come? Did Jesus, who died on the cross, really die for me? Is there any truth in this, what the atheist would like us to consider a myth? I don't know how many of you watched the news last Sunday. Before worship, they were talking about the atheists requesting billboards during Advent season so that they can now put out, this season, celebrate reason. That there is a strong attack on even the holiday that we celebrate as Christmas. That they are growing in numbers. And so there we are in the midst of our own doubts. Do they make sense more than the story of the gospel? Karl Marx once said that the opium of the poor is faith. Or possibly the opium of the rich is faith, because then they can manage the poor. That would be Karl Marx's thoughts. That somehow that faith, that how we believe, has no real sense of earthiness, of reality. That we have this tendency to believe that the world can give us everything we need. I personally believe that the new opium for us here in the United States or in any culture that is considered advanced is comfortableness. That when we're comfortable, why do we need the story of the gospel? What will Christ do for us that we don't already have? We're warm. We're clothed. We've got food. And I can even get a nook color. And the new car that I want. So why do I need Jesus Christ? The doubt of Monday is an odd place to be. So how do we hold on to the joy of Sunday? How do we get that assurance that John the Baptist got when he heard those passages read back to him that it had been accomplished? How do we capture the sense that the gospel message has power, the gospel message has light, that the gospel message is the only reason for the season? How do we keep the joy of Sunday? How do we remember that God knows us, each and every one of us, just as we are, and loves us? I don't know how many watched the Elizabeth Edwards funeral. But I was struck by her own words that her daughter read. Know who we are and live through our genuine self. Isn't that what we are supposed to do as disciples of Jesus Christ? To know who we are and whose we are and to live out of that genuine self. Tony Campolo is a Christian socialist, and he's gotten a little bit more press recently because his son Bart Campolo came to speak to our youth at Pilgrimage. But Tony Campolo grew up in the church, and he decided to research his small rural community church and see how it was doing now that he was all grown and a Christian socialist teaching in a seminary. So he went back to the church records. And he realized that that year he and two of his friends, Dick White, who's now a missionary, and Bert Newman, who's a professor of theology at an African seminary, were the three in his baptismal class. And he had wondered, you know, how is my church doing? So he opened the records and he looked to the report. You know how churches love to do reports on that particular year. And it says, it has not been a very good year for our church. We have lost 27 members. Three joined, and they were only children. Tony Campolo, a Christian socialist, Dick White, a missionary, and Bert Newman, a professor of theology at an African seminary. We can choose to look at only three joined and have the doubts of Monday of whether or not the Church of Jesus Christ will survive. Or we can look at the fact that in the midst of that community of faith, those believers, their faith, their sense of who they were and whose they were was so strong that the three children who joined grew up and made a life of faith and moved into a place where they could proclaim to the world that there was something different than what the world offers. Because if you notice, after Jesus offers those words to John's followers, that they could then report to John, who was in prison, who he was, he turned to the crowd. He turned to the crowd and said, "Let me tell you who John is. Let me tell you about this man that you went to see. You went to see him not because of his fame. You went to see him because you went to see a prophet, to hear good news. But I need to tell you that John is not the news. Though John, for all that he did for the kingdom of God, is not the kingdom of God. But it is important to know who those witnesses are. So as Jesus offers words of encouragement back to John, yes, you are in prison. Yes, that path which you chose to take for God is the right path. He also chose to tell the crowd that the prophets, the witnesses, are people you need to go and hear because they are the ones who bring light into the darkness. They are the ones who offer to us the words of encouragement on those Mondays of doubt. I want to give you one other kind of illustration to help you to grasp on how it is or what it is we need to hold on to. There was a professor of preaching who taught to his class about how to preach. And he had to do his internship in the South, and they gave him this very, very poor church in the South, and it was a nighttime service, and it only had one light. And one, you know, with that bulb in it. And it was an African-American church, and power went out in the middle of his sermon. And you know how preachers love notes. Can't preach without those notes. So there he was in the dark. And in the back of the room, one of the deacons says, "Preach on, preacher. We can still see Jesus in the dark." Whether we are in prison, whether we are on our way to Africa to proclaim God's good news, whether we are battling cancer or whatever illness that has come our way, whether our home life is a place where we would rather not be at home, or whether it is so glorious that we can't see leaving it, Christ is there. That we cannot bring peace on earth. We do not have that capacity as human beings. Only God can do that. And this advent of joy is to recognize the fact that God loves us so much that he came in human form as a baby in a manger so that the world might have peace, that the world might remember God's love for them and love God back. The world might remember God's love for them and love the world back. But we cannot do it without God. In the midst of those doubts on your Monday morning, when you're wondering, is God here? Remember, God is always here. And if you have to, remember it through a little children's song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay, you're standing up, get out your hymnals. We're turning to 246 to sing Joy to the World. Yeah.